So then they get underneath the table and they start playing with me while I'm playing Dungeons & Dragons, trying to keep a straight face because I'm playing D&D with my friends. Like, my dad's initial response, his initial reaction was a sort of like, oh, okay, thank God you're not gay. Like, that was his, like...
Is there, like, a dream guest for you?
Huge fan of Gina Valentina. And, like... I got in right when she kind of got out, so that was like a heartbreaking kind of like, oh no, like, this is the first time in the history of like the Western adult entertainment industry where we have the absolute most Asian male talent in the history.
Two.
And there's two. We have increased Asian male talent in the industry by 200%. Okay, so that's kind of a big deal, guys. Like,
I'm here with the Leo Weiss, the Lion Emperor. Am I right?
Yep.
So, today I'm going to have Leo share his experiences, the whole come up, right? How did you get into this industry? And more so than that, it's like, you know, teaching guys how to increase their riz, their charisma, their sex appeal,
right?
Well, you can learn all that in this episode. And yeah, man, I think you just got some great, interesting stories to tell. Okay. So we're going to get into it. So what is the craziest scene you've ever done thus far?
Craziest scene? Oh, man, I don't have much to say about that just because it's like when I started my career, I was self-publishing. And it was like COVID and all that stuff. So we just shoot a lot in my place. I don't know about the craziest, but the funniest one was because of a middle of pandemic and COVID. Me and some friends are playing Dungeons & Dragons, right?
Yeah.
So we have a weekly D&D session going on, and because it's like five people, it's kind of hard to coordinate, so we can't just move the dates a lot. So we're like set in stone. This is our D&D session. It also happened to be the only day Febby Twiggs was in town, and she wanted to shoot content with me. And she also wanted to shoot content with another performer, Layla Lewis, and she was like, oh, let's do a threesome and this and so forth. So the plan initially was me and them were going to shoot something first. Then they were going to do girl-girl while I'm playing Dungeons & Dragons. And then after that finishes, then we were going to do the threesome. So forth, right? And then, so pretty much because of schedule times and whatever, I end up playing Dungeons & Dragons while those two are having a fucking full like lesbian scene in the bed. I live in a studio, so there's no like separation of walls or anything. It's literally just me sitting there being like, what's up?
Yeah.
And then they got finished their scene while we're still playing D&D because it's like, it's a long session. So then they get underneath the table and they start playing with me while I'm playing Dungeons & Dragons, trying to keep a straight face because I'm playing D&D with my friends. Like,
that was the first question. Check out this video on Spotify, link down below. Also, check out Leo's stuff, link down. I don't think I could link the hub.
No, I don't think you should.
Yeah. But I'm gonna link the Instagram.
You can search me on the hub, though. It's real easy. I pop up.
Yeah. Let me know what other guests you guys want to see. Like, my dream guest was Venus Guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If one day I could have, like, Venus Guy, you know, I'll hop on, that would be... I'm also uploading Down Bad Show episodes a week early on FanHouse. So if you guys want to watch upcoming episodes on the Down Bad Show, the next episode is actually on the FanHouse right now.
You're known on the internet as Eric.
Yeah, so you got some head like under a tent?
In my tent.
Oh.
Dude, I came out of that like, I don't know if I like blowjobs and eating.
So you could join by clicking on the first link down below.
Oh, man. Did you concentrate on the game? Was the focus still intact?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I was able to focus on two things. Luckily, you know, D&D is a team effort, so the team was carrying me through I was preoccupied.
Yeah.
And when it came to the important stuff, you know, it was like, I also play a monk class, so it's really simple. I just run up and punch him, so it's very much easy. Like, yeah. It's like, punch him. And then, like, right back to doing what I'm doing down there.
Damn. Was this recorded, everything?
Actually, yeah, they did record it. There is some footage of it.
Of you just playing, and you just getting...
this footage of them under the table, and then my DM didn't know what was going on. So at one point, he's just like, "Are you tired over there?" Like, no, I'm good. Got something going on. Like, don't mind me.
Oh god! And both of them were under the table.
Yeah,
that's fire.
That was the first question.
And let's get into, you know, the generic questions, right? Mm-hmm. Before how you got started, how did you learn to just, how did you get good at fucking?
you know what they say, practice, practice, practice.
Okay.
So
actually, no, even let's rewind even before that. When did you lose your virginity?
Oh, I mean, I feel like it's a late bloomer, but it's, you know, I was 18, freshman year of college.
Okay.
I think technically...
That's common. I think that's pretty common.
I feel like that's pretty common. Again, if you're in that range, it's like, that's normal. I had my very, very, very first opportunity. I was so nervous and excited that I didn't even make it inside before I exploded. And then,
you busted.
Yeah. And then,
before impact.
Right. So that... like was technically my first, but not, you know what I mean?
Because nah, like that doesn't really count.
Right, like it's my first time with a girl, but we didn't even make it
right.
Then it wasn't until like a year later I get to college, and then like I officially like, okay, now I'm inside the vagina, we've officially lost that, this, you know what counts. I mean, so
yeah. But the first how was that,
the first official time? No, it was great. It was
girlfriend.
Yeah, it was girlfriend at the time. Like, yeah, I was a girlfriend at the time in college, and it was just, we've been dating for a little while. I'm a pretty shy person, actually, so it's kind of one of those weird things. It's like,
guided you.
Well, it was just sort of like, I didn't make the move, and she didn't push, so we just dated for a long time before I eventually got the nerves to be like, hey, can we, you know?
Yeah.
And then she was like, yeah, of course, like, you could have done it anytime sooner, and I was like, I didn't know.
Dude, the first
like,
time you asked.
Pretty much, like.
Wow, okay.
Part of it's just like, I grew up in a place that didn't have a lot of, I grew up in the Bay Area, but in a part of the Bay Area that didn't have a big Asian community.
Okay.
So I was always kind of odd man out, right? Mm-hmm. And then as a kid being teased for being Asian in Western society, it just kind of, it affected my self-esteem, like sexually, in a way that I was just a lot more shy about making those moves when it came to women, you know?
Yeah. Did you, was your friend circle Asian? Was your friend circle white?
No, back then my friend circle was mostly white, just because there wasn't a lot of nerdy white kids
that played Dungeons and Dragons.
No. There just wasn't a lot of Asian people around. Uh-huh. And so I just hung out with the people that had similar interests and stuff that I did. Yeah. And in high school, I started wrestling and I started skateboarding. So I hung out with the wrestlers. And then in the summertime, I hung out with the skaters.
Okay.
And there just wasn't a lot of Asians in both circles.
But
so
I think that's still like a pretty like outgoing activity.
Oh, right.
Right. So like you were still, you know, out there.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, like my shyness wasn't, I mean, the shyness is still there. But, you know, you go out there and do things because you need to do these things.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, most of the shyness, like, it's like a social shyness, but like actually going out and, you know, wrestling someone on a mat or something, it's like, well, you know what you gotta do. Like, you just go out there and do it, right?
But it's different from like, now I have to talk to people.
Right.
And now I have to game this girl up.
I don't know how you feel about me, like, feelings wise, but I know if I go on the mat and beat you, the points just say, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I see. Now, do you grow up with, you know, anime, K-pop, like any Asian influences?
Oh, yeah. There was definitely anime, but it was like, you know, I'm kind of old, so I'm like, I'm 36, right?
Okay.
So
you grew up with the Cowboy Bebops.
Yeah, yeah, but even before then, it was like Dragon Ball.
Just a ball.
Like, I remember as a kid, it was just like, it was like you watch cartoons, and then there was that little block right after the morning cartoons where it's like Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball, occasionally what was it, like Ronin Warriors, and like those ones, right?
Ronin and then Kenshin.
And then later on, like in about middle school years, Toonami started popping up, and then you got those Toonami animes. Yes. You know, that's when Dragon Ball added the Z to the end of that, and you know, things like that. And then I've always been a fan of anime, but I didn't really get into it until my college years, because as most do, right, as is tradition.
Yeah.
And then
it's the rite of passage,
right?
Yeah.
And then during that time, you know, it was like Naruto, Fooly Cooly, Cowboy Bebop, things like that. Samurai Champloo. So
moving on, now you talked about your shyness, right?
Okay.
How did the girlfriend help you slowly overcome that, or was it yourself? Was it like, how did you blossom in college?
It was definitely me. I mean, it helped having, you know, it helped losing your virginity to someone that you thought was really attractive and all this other stuff. Yeah. But for the most part, it was eventually me being comfortable with just being me, right? Like, I am.
Right.
And that part of it was a sort of not focusing so much on dating and getting laid, but just focusing on me and like what I wanted to be, who I wanted to be, what I wanted to achieve in my life. You know, when I was in high school, it was, I wanted to wrestle, right? Mm-hmm. So I focused all on that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of my senior year of high school, even though all I did the entire time was just focus on wrestling,
yeah,
I was like nominated for Homecoming King. I was like all these things that like the signs that you are popular, right?
Oh.
And it's like that wasn't me trying to be popular. It was me just focusing on being the best me, mm-hmm. and who I was at the time was mm-hmm. this. And then translating that over to college where it's like, okay, I stopped wrestling in college, but I just started skating and I was just mm-hmm. gonna be like, and then me finding my place in the skate community out mm-hmm. there and all that stuff made me confident of who I am as an individual, mm-hmm. which just like helped attract women because, you know, attraction is more than just the way that you look. There's a kind of an aura about you that yes. makes people yes. attracted to you, that like right. they want to get to know more about you.
Right.
And confidence is a huge part of that. Yes. And when you have that confidence,
yes.
people just like, you know, you're minding your own business and people just like are attracted to you.
You just get it, bro. I'm not gonna lie. You just get it, man. You just like explained everything that I vouched for in just one little nugget right there.
What's going on, guys? This podcast was sponsored by BetterHelp. If you guys are watching this podcast, my guess is you might be battling some anxiety, some fears that's holding you back from, you know, approaching girls, or it might be just a lot of fears that's holding you back from living the life that you want. Now, that being said, BetterHelp is an online therapy which can assist you and find you a licensed professional therapist that can help you and guide you to better understanding yourself and better understanding some of these barriers that's holding you back. So it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's a professional therapy done securely online. And you can schedule a weekly video or phone session so you won't have to sit through, you know, waiting rooms in traditional therapy. Now, I don't know if you guys try traditional therapy. A lot of times it's kind of out of your reach. It's kind of out of your way to actually go and seek therapy. With BetterHelp, you could do it right through your phone, right through the App Store. Download BetterHelp, and within 48 hours, they will match you with the exact professional licensed therapist that will work best for you, depending on whatever you're going through emotionally or mentally. And you can really talk out your problems with a licensed therapist. BetterHelp is a great way where you can show up for yourself and invest in your own well-being and essentially grow out of your anxieties and your fears. That being said, you could go read their testimonials at betterhelp.com/reviews. So visit betterhelp.com/thedownbadshow and join over 2 million people who have already taken charge of their mental health with the help of a experienced professional. That said, I'm giving you guys a special offer for those of you watching the podcast, a 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/thedownbadshow.
So the skate stuff really, really got you.
Right.
And it's, what were you doing like career-wise? Like, were you in, were you majoring in anything? Asian and like, were you?
Nah, I mean, you know, Asian parents and all that. So there was like definitely arts and stuff like that was out of the question.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do was film, but again, that's like out of the question, right? Mm. So the compromise was like, let's get something that's more traditional mm-hmm. that I can kind of fall back on and so forth. So I went with political science. It's cool. It's actually my area of interest.
Okay.
That's the thing. It wasn't like, oh, I hate politics. It's like I thought about being a business major first, and I was just like, no, this is not for me.
Yeah.
And ever since high school, I was actually, I've been watching The Daily Show, and so I inadvertently got interested in politics through that show because, you know, at first it was just the jokes, and then you start watching enough that you start paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah.
So by the time college came around and I had to pick major, I was like, yo, political science sounds kind of interest, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's right up my alley. And honest truth is, I actually really enjoy it.
The politics.
Right. Whether making, you know, finding out how to make money with a political science degree is a whole different story.
Yes.
But getting the degree itself was actually fun. I didn't hate it. You know what I mean?
Right. What were you doing out of college?
Out of college, the plan was to focus on skating and go, you know, try to do something
pro
in the skate world.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was the plan. But life didn't really work out that way. My brother had started a business. He needed help. Mm-hmm. I kind of got sucked into the family business stuff because I graduated college right around 2008. So if you remember, there was a whole, you know, global financial collapse and money was kind of tight for everyone.
Right.
And that was also my family. My dad had a bunch of loans that, you know, for business stuff that was supposed to pop off, but then 2008 happened.
Okay.
My brother, the family ended up in a situation where they needed my help, and I pretty much had to drop everything I was doing to go do that. I didn't actually want to be doing this stuff for my family, but I got called in to do it. Years of it ended up causing friction. I ended up having to leave the family for a while.
So when was this? So out of college?
About 2008. I was there for, I don't remember the exact amount of years. I want to say like three something years before I finally had enough or something like that. Mm-hmm. Then I left on my own, cut all contact with the family for a couple years. During that time is when I, you know, got my next, was when I started working for the video game industry.
Okay.
And then from there is when I started my man whoring it up in San Francisco storyline, which leads directly to here,
how
I became this.
That's where I'm going to pause, right? The man whoring in San Francisco.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So video game industry, how did, like, what kicked that, like, that story arc off? Was it a bad breakup? Was it...
No, so, I mean, kind of. It wasn't a bad breakup. It was just, I was in a relationship for two-something years.
Yeah.
The person I was with, she's amazing. She's wonderful. I have nothing bad and negative to say at all. Mm-hmm. It's just purely one of those, like, dating someone for 2 years and realizing, like, we're both getting into our late 20s. Yes. I wasn't quite ready to settle down yet. There was so much stuff I wanted to do, both, like, sexually and non-sexually. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, I was just starting to finally get a taste of freedom because of all the family stuff. Mm-hmm. And then here I am in this long-term relationship being like, I'm just getting a taste of freedom. Yeah. And I'm also 2-year mark, which means we should be either serious or let her cut loose.
Yeah.
And I decided to cut her loose, which was like, I totally broke her heart, but I still think it was the right move because... Yes. You know, it's been many years since then. I'm still not quite ready to settle down. And I would be the worst person in the world if I just dragged her along the entire time, you know?
Right. You also don't want to drag yourself along.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So, but with that, you know, that sense of finally having freedom in my life, I got financial freedom. I have, you know, freedom from any relationships, this and so forth. I just moved to San Francisco. Why not man whore it up and just, you know, live your best fucking man whore life, right?
Okay. Like, so where did that start? At the club, Tinder?
A Tinder. I'm not a club person. I don't really drink. I'm not really a night, like, you know, I don't drink, I don't dance. So, like, what am I really going to do at the club, right? Okay. And if I went to the club just to try to pick up girls, that's just kind of weird at times.
So, what's your go-to on Tinder? You do the matches.
Yeah, you know, I mean, my strategy works for me, but it's mostly just, you know, if you look good half naked, you post a bunch of half naked pictures, you let people know that you're down, what you're looking for, and just kind of let it happen, right? Like, if you're a good looking guy and you're just honest about, like, hey, I'm just looking for this, you know, people respect that and be like, hey, I'm also just looking for that too. Let's just knock it out real quick and call it a day, right?
Knock it out real quick. Okay. What's the first message? Because a lot of guys watching out here, you know, they are really... Damn, but you know they want to. Okay, so let me ease you into this, right? So I had a friend back in the day. It was a couple years ago. He was I say he was man horn.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be on Tinder just hey FWB ? That's it.
Right.
That's literally his opener.
And honestly,
if
you got the confidence to just go that bold with it, go for it. But honestly, I was about to say, it's like literally just, hey, is fine to get the conversation started if they're already interested. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, like, usually I talk a little bit before. I'm like, hey, you know, so forth. Also, my profile is pretty open about, like, not looking for anything serious and so forth. So if you swipe right and you're responding to hey, you should already be on page that, like... I'm not looking for much.
You got the shirtless picture in the first.
No, of course. Like, okay, catch the attention first, right? You know.
Right. Damn. And you know what's crazy? All these girls, bro, they have the exact opposite on their profile. Just here looking for a friend, not trying to hook up.
Right.
And then they match with you, and they.
All right. I completely understand though, just because the way society views like sex and. Yes. And it's such a double standard, right? Like, if women are out there having sex, it's like, oh my God, you're such a whore. But if man out there having the sex, it's like, good for you. You're a stud, right?
And I think that all goes back to guys as well who, you know, like, down the line, they don't want a girl with, you know, a high body count or...
Right, and I mean, I don't know. I have feelings about that, and I feel like it stems from a lot of male insecurity, and that is like the definition of like toxic masculinity, you know what I mean? Because
Because I think it's how guys view... Their partner, their girlfriend down the line. It's like, okay, I don't want somebody that I've, like, you know, did all these sweet things for and, you know, for her to be technically shared. Because we view, like, sex with our girlfriend to a high esteem. I think that's what it comes
to. I mean, I see that and I get that, but I also think there's still the old traditional thought of marriage is sort of like a property ownership type situation. And there's still part of that because it's like guys aren't looking at it as like, oh, my wife is a human being with her own thoughts and desires and so forth. And, you know, and just like I'm a human being with my thoughts and desires and so forth. Yeah. It's like, I don't want my wife. I don't want my girl. I don't want my having these things with other people. Right.
It's very possessive.
Exactly. It's a possessive mentality where like my mentality on it is like, look, if I'm a human being, you're a human being. If you have these thoughts, it's natural because I have these thoughts. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there are girls that I'm with and it's like, yo, I want to fuck all of your friends. Like, I 100% do. You know what I mean? So, like, who am I going to be mad at you if you're like, oh, you're your friend's hot? It's like, okay, like, you're a human being. You got this, right?
Yes.
Like, just don't do things that's going to hurt each other's feelings. Don't do things out of spite. Don't weaponize sex to hurt each other. But other than that, like, I'm very non-monogamous. So it's very, you know, it's like, go do your thing. Don't stop me from doing my thing. Yeah. I would much rather a non-monogamous relationship based on that we care and love each other versus a monogamous relationship that's based purely on sex. Right. You know what I mean?
So let's just say a guy, you know, he's with, I say, a girlfriend who believes in monogamy, being with one person. And I feel like there are some girls who are totally against that.
Right.
But I think there are girls who could be persuaded.
Oh, no.
So how do you persuade him?
Oh, okay, shit. No, so first things first, warning, be careful what you wish for. Because I've done all sorts of things. And at one point, you venture into the BDSM kink community and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they're a lot more open-minded and so forth. And the general thing is about that is it's usually the guy that brings up to the girlfriend or wife to open up the relationship for, you know, whatever reasons. But you also know women get way more sexual attention than men do. So once you open that can of worms, it's usually the guy's trying to put the genie back in the bottle, trying to close it back up because now the wife is getting so much sexual attention and the dude's sitting there like trying really hard to get some girl to be like okay with, you know, dating him even though he has a wife. Ooh. While the dudes are usually like, oh, you got a husband? I don't give a fuck. And she's like, all right, cool. Like, let's go, right?
Yeah.
So lesson learned, be careful what you wish for. You have to really, like, my whole belief is that some people are wired for monogamy and some people are not, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're wired for monogamy, more power to you, enjoy it and so forth. If you're not wired for monogamy, then just have that discussion with people, let people know, because relationships, the rules of every relationship is dependent only on the people in the relationship.
Got you. Okay. Let's hop back into San Francisco, right? And then when did you shoot your first scene? Or how did you, like, who did, you know, was it a, did you film like a sex tape and you were like, damn, this is kind of, or like, how did?
So it's kind of a, so while I was man whoring it up in San Francisco, a lot of the women were just like, hey, you're pretty good at this whole sex thing, right? And so I started asking, I was having sex with at the time, and I asked her, like, hey, what do you think about this? Because a lot of women are saying that I'm pretty good at this. And she's like, oh, yeah, no, you're totally good at this. You have a big dick. You can fuck, right? And she's like, oh, yeah, my ex is an Asian dude, and he's doing porn. And I was like, what? And it turns out they dated way before he got into the industry, before he did porn and so forth. But her ex was Jeremy Long. And so... What? So she got me in touch with him. We kind of emailed each other back and forth. And he kind of just broke down how they do their productions on their side.
Uh-huh.
And that was the moment that I was like, oh, shit. Like, this is, that's kind of the pulling back the curtain, kind of showing you like, oh, it's not magic. And here's how it kind of works. And that got me going like, I could probably start to do my own productions and so forth.
Wow.
And then, so that's what got me started to like, how do I get into porn?
Mm.
And then the official first time I shot was I matched with some girls on Tinder who were looking for a stunt cock pretty much. They were shooting amateur stuff for this like website. It's like freelunchmoney.com or something like that.
Yeah.
And they had a custom request that they needed a dude, they needed a guy for. Mm. So they were looking for somebody on Tinder. They matched with me, we responded. They were like, hey, come out with us. Let's vibe it out and see if you're like, you know, cool to work with.
Yeah.
So we went out, got dinner. Everything was cool. We got along. And then she was like, they were like, you know, come over this weekend and let's shoot this thing. So I went over that weekend. We shot porn for this custom video they were working on. I thought I was just there to shoot porn. They gave me $30 afterwards. That was my share of the cut. And that was it. That was the first time I got paid to have sex. Like, there we go.
$30. Wow.
So that was my first time I got paid to make porn. Like,
hey, man, everybody starts somewhere.
Exactly. You know? Like,
$30? Shit. I mean, my first YouTube check was $2.
Right?
You know? So at that point, you felt comfortable with, like, shooting something and having it be on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, well, that part was just more comfortable. Like, I can go somewhere and shoot something with random, like, not complete strangers, but pretty much, like, people I just really met and get filmed and so forth. Like, the mechanics of it all work. You know what I mean?
And was there no awkwardness? Was there, like, still a little bit of... Because when you do something... I feel like when you do something new sexually,
right.
Especially with other people, it could be very daunting. It could be very just no, for awkward. Sure.
Honestly, I think it was the right amount of nervousness. It was like, you know, the nervous energy, right? There's like good nervous energy and then there's like overload nervous energy.
Right.
And like, I had that good level of nervousness where it's like, I'm excited, nervous. Mm. And then because of that, everything was working really well.
Okay.
Where if I went overboard, like was super nervous, everything probably would have shut down. You know what I mean?
Right. So at this point, were you thinking about like, like, what if my friends see this? What if my mom see this? What if my...
Zero fucks given, right? Like, honestly, like, number one is like, okay, if my friends see this. Like, well, why would I care if my friends see this? Because, you know, the main thing being like, so now you guys see my dick. Like, it's not...
Yeah, it's not the first time.
Right. Like, I don't feel like, you know...
Like, you've seen my shit, you know?
And with my parents, I actually told them I was going to do all of this before I ever did it. Because... When I had the idea that, like, hey, when the idea and the opportunity to do this, it was like, by the point I was actually making steps into this, Jeremy Long had left the scene, and
there was nobody here.
Exactly, it was a complete open lane, right? Yeah. But because it was a complete open lane, I'm also 100% aware, like, I can't just hide in like a sea of Asian dicks like other dudes and just be like, oh, that wasn't me. Like, that's very obviously me, right?
Yeah.
So, and I have cousins and all this other stuff. So it's like, word may spread around the family reunion if I don't get in front of this first, because I don't want to not do what I want to do because I'm worried about what they may find out. Mm-hmm. So let's just nip this in the bud and let's just go out there. I called my parents. We had this conversation.
Are you Chinese, Vietnamese?
We're from Taiwan, so Taiwan.
Yeah. Mama,
Mama, Baba, we're going to So I called them and then I was like, hey, we need to have this conversation. And we should have the conversation in person, because if I can't like talk to you in person, I shouldn't be doing this in the first place, right? If I'm not mature enough to have this discussion, then I'm just obviously not mature enough to even go down this path.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're like, okay, you know, come over for the weekend, mom will cook lunch and we'll have this conversation and so forth. I get home, you know, and, you know, they're like, sit down, this guy, you know, food and so forth.
Now, was there tension? Were they like, oh, I know, my son gonna tell me some shit?
No, I mean, there was, just because like they knew I wanted to talk to him about something, and we don't have that relationship where I do this often. So it's like, yo, if he's actually reaching out and says that there's something we need to talk about, it's something, because, you know, I'm a very independent person. I don't call them for anything, really, right?
Yeah.
So there was that tension when I got to the house, because they weren't sure if it's good, bad, this, that, something serious, how, like, whatever. But they were just like, you know, sit, eat, let's talk. And so they're kind of like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off real quick, right? Let's just make this real simple. And I just came out, I was like,
well, the GG that bomb, huh?
Yeah. So pretty much was like, I have an opportunity to shoot porn, to do porn, to go into the porn industry and just make porn. And realistically, I'm going to take it. It's not a maybe. It's a, I am going to do this.
Word.
I'm not doing it right now at this very moment.
Word.
But I am going to do this. I'm going to go down this path. Word. So if you hear something about it in the family reunions and so forth, you hear rumors and so forth, they're probably true. I just wanted to tell you guys first, you know, before anything else, because again, like I said, if I'm not mature enough to tell you guys to your face as like, as an adult, I really shouldn't be doing this in the first place, right?
Yeah.
My dad's initial response, his initial reaction was a sort of like, oh, okay, thank God you're not gay. Like, that was his, like, that was his concern, apparently. And then afterwards, you know, the Asian parent response, the second response is, how much money are you gonna make? Right? Because how much money you're going to make determines whether or not you're making the right choice or not, right?
Yeah.
So we had a conversation, we had a discussion, and just kind of talking about, it's like, I might not be making a lot of money right off the bat, but the earning potential for me is much higher for me doing
this. When was this? 2017? Because I want to gauge, like, the economy, too.
I want to say around, like, 2017, 18-ish.
Okay.
It's probably when we had this conversation.
Okay.
And then, again, it still took a little while for me to get there, because just the way I entered the industry, the entire way I came about it, was really trying to be independent, self-producing, just try not to have my fate in the hands of other people the entire time. You know what I mean? But yeah, during that time, I was just, you know, telling them, like, I got this good paying, I got a pretty decent paying corporate job, but the earning potential, because, you know, at my job, like, I'm limited, my growth is limited to what the people above me think I deserve.
Yeah,
what I actually do, not the effort I put in, not how hard I work. It's just purely like, do the upper
salary,
management
work these hours? Right.
Do the management above think I deserve to have a happier life? If they don't, then I don't, right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of like me explaining to them, it's like, look, I want to eventually start my own business at a certain point, this and this and so forth. I need to take control of my own life, my own destiny, my own freedom. Then this is the best opportunity given the skills, the things I have, and the market and so forth. And at this point in my life, you know, like, I'm already like in my early 30s. So, you know, it's not like I was doing this because I had no other option in life and sex work is the only way I could survive. My parents at this point were like, you've proven that you're able to survive and handle your own no matter what you're doing. You've proven at this point that you have a pretty good head on your shoulders, that you, even if we don't understand what your plan is, you have a plan and you're pretty good at carrying it out.
Yeah.
We really can't tell you no at this point.
So it was a very like logistical or very logical response.
Yeah, like
it wasn't like, like disappointment.
I mean, after everything I had already gone through with my family at this point, there was a whole falling out, coming back together, this and this, so forth.
Okay.
Because of all of that, when this finally occurred, they were at the point to be like, you know what? The only thing we can really do is love you and support you.
Oh, fuck.
Like,
yeah.
And that's kind of where we're at. So out of respect, I just don't bring up work to them, you know what I mean? Because it's like, what, like even if I brought it up and even if they were proud of it, it's like, I can't talk more detail about this, you know what I mean? So out of just respect, like, we just don't talk about it. But they still call in, and occasionally, once in a while, I get some random call from my dad, just be like, whatever you're doing, I just let you know, we love you and we're proud of you. And I was like, thank you, Dad, appreciate it so much.
You know, you'd rather hear it from the dad, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly, right? Job, like my mom, my mom calls me to check in all the time, but my dad, like, yo, that means a lot, really, you know?
Oh man, that makes me feel good that, you know, Asian parents, you know, hopefully, you know, for the people watching, that, you know, Asian parents become more open-minded and accepting of just, not just, you know, sex work, but just non-traditional
right
paths.
Right, like there's multiple paths to success. Yes. Especially here in America, this is supposed to be the land of opportunity.
Yes.
And so, you know, if your kids got, I don't want to say if your kids got a passion, because porn's not my passion, but it's like,
right, but if you're good at it, man.
But it's also, it's just, if you have an idea, you have a path and so forth, there's so many different paths to success. Like, just, I'm not saying you have to encourage everyone, but just hear them out. Genuinely hear them out, you know what I mean?
Like, yo, sex is fun.
I mean,
you know?
But yeah, but honestly, if I couldn't figure a way to monetize, if I was going into a completely saturated market field and so forth, right, would it be a good idea? Honestly, even if I was
from just a business standpoint, that's what I'm saying. He's just doing it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so, like as a parent, if my kid, you know, people are like, what if your kids want to just, what's your business strategy? What's your market strategy? If you have a business plan and it seems pretty good, yo, go make your money, right? But if you're like, I'm going to do this because I want it, and it's like, you have no way of actually monetizing and taking care of yourself.
Right.
I, even as somebody who's doing this, would be like, don't do it because you're going to shoot yourself in the foot, because sex work is one of those things. Once you do it, you're in. You can't, you don't dip your toe in the sex work, right? Like, once you do it, you've crossed that line.
Yes.
You are now forever tainted as a sex worker. Yes. And if you don't have a plan, a strategy, a marketing, an exit plan, and all this other stuff, I'd be like, yo, figure that out and then come back. I literally had, so one of the skate homies from like the back in the day, the young skate homies, right? They found out about my porn shit.
Yeah.
And then they hit me up and they'd be like, yo, I'm kind of doing the same thing. Like, OnlyFans going on since this. How do I get in? And I had to tell them, no, you're not ready for this. Because as I started asking him, it was like, what's your branding? What's your marketing? What's your strategy? What's your business?
You just had none of it, right? Like,
and that's exactly what it was. It's like, bro, there's so many fucking white dudes. There's so many guys. You have no plan. You have no marketing. You have no strategy. You have no this and this.
Right.
And you want me to get you into porn? Like, the fuck are you gonna do once I got you in? Like, I can't I can't do your work for you, right?
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's one of those like,
hey,
I came correct, and I told them exactly what, they know my background, they know all this stuff, and they were like, he's starting his own business. It wasn't a conversation about me going into porn. It was a conversation about me starting my own business, and it happens to be in adult entertainment.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if someone was just like, let me do sex work because I want to do, because I like fucking, I'd be like, don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah. If you just want to fuck, don't do it. Yeah. Fuck for fun.
Yeah.
It's like, forever, now, you know what I mean?
What are you bringing to the table?
Right.
But I think, man, it's still hard though. I think a lot of, do you feel like a lot of Asian guys do lack in the sex department?
I don't know, because I don't have sex with Asian guys, so I have no idea what their dick game is like.
Right, but I think just from the, I guess, how society kind of views Asian guys.
I guess the perception, the stereotypes, I totally understand where it comes from. And it sucks too, because it's like, I think even Asian women are susceptible to the same stereotypes that they believe about the Asian men, because oftentimes, like, you know, I'm like hooking up with somebody and we're getting naked and so forth, and they'll be like pleasantly surprised. They'll be like, oh wow, you're really big for an Asian guy. And it's like, like, what do you mean for an Asian guy? Because statistically, I'm just big in general. Like, I'm just above average. And so it's one of those things, like, you know.
But it's not even about the dick size, right? Like what about the rating, the review that the girls give you, like, after post-sex? It's like, damn, you're the best Asian guy. Or you're one of the best guys I've ever had.
Honest, I mean, that's just on an individual basis as a person, right? Mm-hmm. Because for me, I get off on them getting off, right? Yeah. I enjoy other people having a good time.
Yeah.
So my entire focus while I'm having sex is, what can I do anything
to please yourself?
Exactly, to please you. My ego aside, whatever you want, like, I don't care. As long as you're having a good time, I'm having a good time. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I like to think that my partner's come out having a really good time, mm-hmm. right? But if you don't go into sex with that mentality, you go in with like, oh, I'm gonna fuck, ego fuck real hard to prove that I'm real good in this.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't, I don't know if she had a good time. I can't, you know, like.
I think also going back to the topic was, I think a lot of Asian guys also, like, it's just, sex is a very taboo topic and subject in the Asian community, right? I think that also contributes to the part of the problem, where it's like, yo, if we're not talking about this, then Asian guys aren't learning about it and getting better with it if they're like scared.
Oh yeah,
you know, to
no, for sure. And I think it's not just the Asian community that we don't really talk about sex. Like in the manosphere, like men, we talk about sex, but not ever in detail the way like women would talk about sex, right? Like we talk about it in a very general sense, like, oh, I hit that, but not like how do you actually please a woman? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that's why there's so many men out there that's just,
they're
like,
scared to ask,
right? Like like they're literally confused about female anatomy of like where's the clit, where the G spot is, like how do you stimulate those things properly and all this other stuff.
Right, because as guys, you just, hey man, I just got it.
Right.
You got it or you don't.
Right.
But it's like back in, you know, when they're by themselves, they're on the computer, like, how do I
exactly,
what's the,
right?
What's the fucking, how do I finger to go? You know?
So you know, you have those conversations. I learn all that stuff because the women that I interact with in my life, you know. Literally one time I was hooking up with this woman in San Diego, and I'm like thinking I know what I'm doing, because I was like, oh, I've been here before, I fingered plenty of women. Yeah. And she literally stopped me to be like, no, you're doing it wrong.
Oh.
And then she like literally taught me where the G-spot was. She was like, you curl your finger to this, and you like feel around, you feel a little rough spot in here, you're like, there, that's my G-spot, this and this, now rub it. And she literally like, and like, you know, if my ego got in the way of that lesson, I never would have learned where the G-spot is, how to stimulate the G-spot, and also how to feel out my partner to see whether it's working or not. Yeah. Because I would just be like, oh, I know what I'm doing, I know, blah, blah, blah. And no. Apparently, I didn't know what I was doing, you know, and I needed someone to stop me, correct me, and so forth. And that's one of those lessons you learn, is like, you know, when it comes to pleasing someone else, put your ego aside and just learn what the other person wants and do that thing. And if you do a good job of it, they will gladly reciprocate to you. And then now you're having really good sex, because both people are having a really good time wanting to please each other, as instead of having like selfish sex where you're trying to get yours before the other person gets theirs. You know what I mean?
I think that's something I've like talked about on this channel, is like, definitely it's just a better experience overall if you help them get off.
Right.
And because they start coming back for seconds, thirds, and then eventually, you know, it's like an interchangeable, you know, it's
for
like
sure.
Date, bro. Oh, I mean, I was also going to talk about, you know, a lot of, I would say, like, in Asian culture, right? It's just like, even in pop culture, too, it's like, I think, you know, going back to how I was saying the topic of sex is very taboo.
Right.
And you say, you know, it's guys in general. Yes, I agree. But I think within the Asian community, right, I don't know if you ever seen the music video, like, Nice Guys.
Nah.
By Ryan Higa.
Nah, okay. Sorry.
It's a big, I mean, you just see it from the title, right?
Okay.
They're talking about, like, topics of, you know, just be a nice guy. And it's a very relatable song for a lot of Asian dudes. It's just, you know. I think because we value, I guess, friendship, like camaraderie, you know, in the relationship more than all the sex shit, right? And I think that's a little bit backwards. And that's like, I think that's super backwards. And it's working against us to really, like, focus on that, because because all this sex and fucking is not talked about.
Right, right.
So, do you see that problem being the case?
Kind of. Yes and no. It's just sort of one of those things where it's hard to speak for the entire Asian community because again, it's like we're such a diverse group of people from so many different backgrounds and so forth, right? Absolutely. But there is sort of this thing where there is this stereotype or this belief that's just like, oh no, we just kind of nice, right? But it's like nice is such a base level. It's just how you treat people on the base level. It's just like. It's you're just nice to people, right? Like, if you're opening a door for yourself and someone's behind you, you just hold the door open because
but that's not what I'm talking about. It's like they're trying to friendship their way into what they want.
Well, right, but that's what I'm saying. It's like you're being nice, where thinking being nice, friendshipping your way is like, oh, I'm showing you something like a good quality about me. But it's like I'm saying like you're showing the absolute base level of human interaction quality, and you need something above the nice, right? That's what I was, before we talked about where. When I focused on me and being a good athlete and this and so forth, it made me it made me attractive.
Yes.
It was the confidence. It was my success in the realms of the things that I was pursuing. It was that other guys wanted to be me that made the women go, oh shit, this is somebody who's like somebody.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I'm nice, right? Like I, you know, so, so it's like I'm not an asshole and I was successful at these things I did all these things. And that's how I ended up attracting really, you know, attracting really good women.
Yes.
And so that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like we have this idea, be nice, definitely be nice. Don't be a dick. Right. But being nice is such a base level human interaction that it's not enough to secure you a relationship. You need to be more than nice.
Yeah.
I think that's, yeah, you answered that perfectly.
Yeah. I think another, did you, you know, when you were shy, right? And I think now we're touching on like some earlier topics, but you know, when you were shy, were you battling stuff like social anxiety, stuff like that?
I was, and I definitely was battling it. You know, definitely use comedy, self-depreciating humor, stuff like that. Like, you know, I think it's a very common thing for a lot of Asian people. You make self-depreciating jokes, Asian jokes and stuff like that. Cause you kind of want to be in with the in crowd a little bit.
Oh like, yeah. Yeah. You know,
like I'm one of the cool ones. Like I don't need to try to be cool. I just need to be the best.
I'm a person. Yeah.
You know, and I found my identity, and my identity wasn't like Asian kid in school. My identity was I'm a wrestler. I'm part of the wrestling team. I'm now team captain. I am now one of this. Like that was my identity. Yeah. So as weird as it sounds, I had to remove myself from my Asianness to find myself to now embrace and love my Asianness. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And I think that holds very true. But a lot of Asian guys, girls, they are very cliquish.
Right.
Especially like in this country, I see, you know, the Asians kind of, you know, they're in their own bubble.
It's comforting. It's a very safe place to be.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't have that option.
Ah.
That was the thing. I didn't grow up around Asian community, so I never had that option. I was just thrown into Western society and said, have fun, figure it out.
But in a lot of these major cities, it's
easy.
You have the comfort.
See, I saw that because my brother did that. My brother found the Asian communities.
I see.
They weren't in the city that we lived in, so as soon as he got the drive, he drove out over there, you know what I mean? He went to college with all the Asians. He went straight into it because I think he didn't like the backlash either, right? Because we were, you know, we both dealt with the same backlash. Yes. We just went about it different ways, but he found the Asian community and went into that safe zone.
Right.
I just kept battling it out in Western society of like,
fuck it, let me be homecoming king.
Exactly. Yeah. Like this is my life. This is me. Like,
you know, hey, let me get some soju Korean barbecue every weekend.
Yeah, I mean, and you know,
it's fun though.
Yeah, to each their own. Because again, like, it's a we didn't sign up for this fight. You know what I mean? Like,
we were thrown in this country.
Right,
right.
So I completely understand if those who want to back up out of it and just find their little bubble, be comfortable, and have a comfortable, happy life. Mm-hmm. Go for it. No hate on my end. Enjoy your life. But from my end, it was like, yo, I got thrown into this battle. I'm in the middle of this battle for like cultural relevancy in Western society.
Yeah.
Well, here we are. Let me keep going at it. Like,
yeah. And I think that's why for, you know, a lot of people who are in the cliques, when they do go outside of their circle,
right.
It's it kind of builds that like social anxiety.
Right.
Too. It's like, oh, man, like how do I, you know, talk to somebody of a different culture? Right. How do I and that's why, like, I think Asian guys to a lot of women, they're seen as shy.
Right.
They're seen as like, I guess, the nice guy, you know, whatever the stereotype is. It's like we just haven't had that kind of interaction.
Right.
And going out of our circle is, I would say, uncomfortable.
Oh, 100%. I very much get that. And And it's also, it's just, you know, it's just seeing the other sex as people, not somebody you're trying to have sex with too. That's, yep. that's, if you're not having a lot of interactions with women, yep. it's hard to have interactions with women that in your mind, even like just subconsciously isn't trying to turn sexual. And you know, like, there's got to be some element of it there, but you get way more success if you just talk to a person as a person first yeah. and then get there versus like, you know, trying to be like, let me start this conversation because I want to date this person. Like, yeah, like yeah. no, just start the conversation as a person
yeah.
and then you'll get there eventually if it starts going that direction, you know?
Yeah. I think for myself, like I found a lot of, like in college, I was hanging out with, you know, all my Asian homies, right? And I think, you know, I started off kind of blossoming within that community, just being more social.
Okay.
And then out of college is when I started doing YouTube. And the YouTube videos, oh my God, you know, yeah. it helped me with everything.
Right, right.
Right. And yeah, I was talking to all kinds of strangers. Yeah. Right. And I think, but when I noticed that I'm fairly attracted to just my kind, my Asian women. You know?
Everyone's got a thing. Everyone's got what they're attracted to. Right. Like.
But I think slowly as I was like, you know, hooking up more, I started to, I guess, open my mind to just being able to talk to another person
right.
and just find points of connection
right.
rather than feeling safe that yes. they're, you know, we kind of look alike.
Right, right. When I went to college and it was like, I'm meeting Asian people for once, I'm now around people that look like me, but we have nothing to talk about. We have nothing in common. You know what I mean? Like, the vibe is different because a lot of them came from the Asian communities.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, we're, like, I can't relate to them, right? Mm. But then, like, in the skate world, there's, you know, I'm now relating to all these other people that, like, we look nothing alike, but we connect on such a, you know, on a fundamental level because of our backgrounds and so forth.
Yeah. Let's see. To kind of close it off, like a big section I want to do is, you know, have you impart some advice, wisdom.
I'll do my best.
Okay. So we talked about, you know, Asian guys being too nice, right? Let's not just put on Asian guys. Let's just say how could guys in general increase their sex appeal?
You increase the sex appeal by, again, rule one, being attractive. Rule two, don't be unattractive, right? And then again, and I say that, and people, it's like, oh no, you're just born away. No, attractive isn't good looking. It's attractive is you attract people. You attract their attention. There's something about you that attracts people, right? So it could be through your confidence. It could be through your humor. It could be through your talents, your skills, abilities. But as we, you know, I said before, and I'll say it again, the better you are at who you are,
yeah.
the more confident you are, the more you project that sort of confidence the confidence in yourself,
yeah.
that's what makes you attractive. And even if you are attractive and you have those things, you could be unattractive by having a shit attitude, just being a dick, like just generally think, you know, like you can still be very talented, but then everyone finds out like you're just the worst person to hang around with. Yeah. You're now unattractive, even though you may, you know,
right.
conventionally be attractive. So,
but do you think, you know, stuff like basic stuff like, you know, working out, because you could tell this to like, hey, like a 400 pound dude.
Oh, right.
You know.
And, but you know, here's the thing though, right? Like if you're a 400 pound dude and you're not uncomfortable about being 400 pounds, right? You're carrying that confidence because you chose to be that 400 pounds.
Yeah.
You're carrying around with confidence. You've got the sense of humor. You've got the fashion. You got all these things going for you. Your hygiene is good and so forth. I've seen dudes like that pull super hot women because the woman's like, oh shit, he's funny as fuck and he's super cool to hang out with, right? And like, so for women, I mean, you have to think too, for women, sex is more mental than physical. For men, it's more physical than mental. So for us, it's like, oh, they have to look a certain way, this and this, because like we need to see the physical stimuli for us, for everything to be working. For women, they don't even need to look at us. You know what I mean? Like literally some of the positions, they're not looking at us, right?
Yeah.
So your physical looks doesn't matter as much to the women as their looks matter to us as the men. Because, you know, if you're the funniest dude in the world and she thinks you're hilarious and great and so forth, but she's not that physically attracted to you, she could just do doggy with you the whole fucking time and be good. You know what I mean? Like,
is there like a dream guest though for you?
Oh man. Yes. I mean, that's a lot, right? Like, but I said it before and I'll say it again now. It's I'm a huge fan of Gina Valentina. And like And like, I got in right when she kind of got out, so that was like a heartbreaking kind of like, oh no, like.
Oh, that's funny because I met Gina too. Oh, okay. I did a little video with her.
I've actually met her a few times myself too. So
Yes, she like she got a boyfriend now. Right. Now she's like, you know, like a family girl now, and it's like she did all her. She did a lot. Now, do you have a strategy on how to kind of fucking go to the top, to the moon? Mm. Like,
I do and I don't. I don't have anything that's specifically like.
Are you aiming for like, yo, I want to be like Ash Ketchum. I want to be the very best.
I don't know about very, very best. I do. There is a part of me that's kind of like, okay, if I have the longevity to last the full 10 years, I would like to go for AVN Hall of Fame status. You know what I mean? Just to be like, leave that mark in the industry, to be like, you can't take this away from me. I've left my mark. I'm here.
Yeah.
But with that, it's like, that's a fantasy, not a goal. The goal is really just to be like financially independent, take care of my shit,
gotcha,
and build a platform, build up my East Meets West brand, a platform, so that way I can eventually have my own site where I'm shooting content and giving opportunities to Asian male talent, or even not just particularly like East Asian male, but just other ethnic groups that aren't really getting a lot of shine.
So end it off, right? Hey, man, it's great having you. We need you, bro. We need you. It's great having you on the podcast.
I appreciate you having me here. Had a good time.
Pleasure, man.